item, which will be item six. Thank you. And are you going to remain, or going to, gentlemen, or are you going to?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to remain.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Right, we move on to item six, which is reports of the Chief Eternal Auditor. And what I'm asking Lizzie to do, hopefully she's there, is that if we can do items on the agenda which are noted as, let me just get it, A and B, we could do those two together because they're very complementary, not complementary, they complement each other. And I think it'd be good if we can do those both together, if Lizzie is there and is able to do so.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to start, if that's possible, with the progress report though first, but Councillor Tindall is right, they are linked. Progress report is to give you a position update on any audits that we have completed since the last time of reporting, and obviously the annual report is to pull together the results throughout the course of the year and to give an annual opinion on the internal control framework that is in place in the Isle of Wight Council. The annual opinion is submitted. There's an element that's submitted in the annual governance statement, and obviously it sits alongside the annual accounts. So in relation to the progress report, and apologies, because there is an element that is reduplicated in both, and it's due to the timing and submission of these two reports. So we will detail for you the whole of the plan with what we have completed and their opinion levels. And so the duplication that I am referring to between the annual opinion and the progress report on page C16 to C22 is duplicated again, obviously, in the progress report. So that's just for a little bit of clarity. The progress report, we have a number of items of work that we have concluded. There is nothing, from my perspective, of a significant concern, but obviously we detail for you in a summarised version any items of work that has been completed. You will note that there are a number of high risk exceptions that have been included. I'd like to give a little bit of context that the nature in which we audit, we use data analytics, which enables us to analyse population transactions and carry out 100% of analysis work, which means that some of the results that actually come out are in relation to that 100% sample testing, which is why we've got a couple of areas of high risk. They do not cause me concern. They are not unusual to what I would expect, but I'm happy to answer any particular queries that you may have on any of the specific audits that are on the table. So, progress report, I won't go any further. The annual opinion at present, the level of assurance that I am giving is that it is reasonable assurance. There is an area that if we don't address, which is the completion of implementing agreed actions within a time set, that is one of the things that may well influence the direction of travel for future years on the annual opinion. CMT at the authority and all executive members have taken this very seriously, so we have got a number of enhanced arrangements in place to be able to bottom out, making certain that the organisation and each individual directorate, when they sign up to some actions, that they are actually implementing those. So at present, reasonable assurance. And we've been able to complete most areas of our work despite COVID-19. But at present, I will leave that as is and answer any questions you may have.
Right. Any members of the committee have any questions? Michael, you must have a question on this.
Councillor Tindall, I can't hear you. You're on mute.
Ah.
Okay.
Nope.
Got it.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yes.
It's my two lovely assistants here and looking after me. Has any of the members got any questions on these two papers. Michael has.
Yep, Michael.
Okay, sorry, Councillor Lilly.
Yes,
sorry, Councillor Lilly, can you please go ahead?
On paper C, yes?
Yeah.
We're on that one. There is raised of concerns about public health outcomes, right? I'd like more information. This has been raised in previous years and previous audit committee meetings about this, and also the corporate scrutiny task and finish group commercialisation raised the issue of the ledger department was benefiting from a public health grant subsidy. And that community facilities such as West White Community Centre and Waterside in Ryde actually not. I was assured by the Cabinet Member of Public Health at the beginning of the year that no more public health grants was going to go to leisure services, and there was a new wellbeing fund. Can I have some sort of assurances that public health money is actually being paid appropriately?
Okay, Councillor Lilly. That particular audit, which is public health outcomes, the specific area of scope was where the council has made a legitimate decision to enable directorates across the council to use the money in order to meet public health outcomes. The issues that we identified, and I think it had been historically reported possibly at the last meeting to this committee, was that we weren't able to wholeheartedly evidence that those outcomes had been met. There were many reporting mechanisms and many performance indicators that were unique within the various areas. So for example, the leisure service, within children's services, within adult services, what it needed to extend was it needed to extend the narrative around public health outcomes, which is quite specific. So we're not saying that the money wasn't spent in accordance with the overall terms and conditions, but there was gaps that if we were robustly challenged by Public Health England, they might not be entirely comfortable with us with where that evidence actually was coming from. I obviously can't give you any opinion on the grant itself with how it is distributed. I do know though that it does have to meet the terms and conditions, and the Director for Public Health alongside the Director of Finance has to sign off the grant on an annual basis, and that verification of sign off has occurred. So I don't know if that wholeheartedly answers your question, but from my perspective from Chief Internal Auditor, that's the position from audit.
Lizzie,
okay,
sorry, Michael. Lizzie,
I've got one more.
Yeah, no, just one moment.
Questions.
Just one moment, Lizzie. Who was it you said signs off that report?
It's the Director of Public Health alongside Section 151, the Director of Finance.
Okay, fine. Okay, sorry, Michael. Councillor Lilly, go ahead.
I had other questions. Regarding paper C, one was there was concerns about floating bridge and regeneration property, which I would like explained, and also about Nicholson Road, which is still put viability at high risk. Again, I would like a little bit more information.
Okay, Councillor Lee. So the income bridge, the regen project, and the final area?
Nicholson Road.
Nicholson Road, okay.
They're all highlighted in the report.
Yes. In relation to the income at the bridge, the monetary levels are actually very low, and the scope of our particular review was looking at the framework in place for receiving, receipting and banking arrangements. There was, at the time that we carried out this particular review, there was a number of concerns in relation to physical receipt of income, because the system that sat behind this, the electronic system, there were a number of problems and issues. Whilst it is not noted within this particular report, there is a subsequent report that will be coming forward where the follow-up position, and we haven't yet issued it, is that all areas outstanding in relation to the bridge have now been resolved. They no longer take cash, and they have sufficient infrastructure and framework to be able to take payments as and when they need it. In relation to regeneration projects, I'll come back onto, but the Nicholson Road, the concerns that we originally raised were, we look at projects when they're at their infancy stages for what arrangements are around them in relation to financial assessments, the business case, and how robust some of those are. So we had highlighted that, and it's not for us to determine whether we think it is a good project or it's not a good project, it's for us to determine whether there are relevant controls and risk mitigation. Nicholson Road, as at the time of the audit, there were some gaps. Again, those gaps are more in relation to what sits behind everything. For example, as I said, some of the financial assessments. On a project of this size, it's actually quite difficult to be 100% accurate with all of your assertions. And obviously, as time progresses, items and papers get represented to the various decision-making bodies within the council, and obviously things can change. In relation to Nicholson Road, again, it's not specified in this particular report due to timing, but everything has been resolved in relation to Nicholson Road. Whether the council goes ahead and progresses with it is something that it can determine at a later stage. A regeneration project, I think I probably need to remind myself in actual fact as to what it would have covered. In a nutshell, we would look at any projects that are on the table to regenerate for the local authority. And again, we are looking at the project management arrangements, or again, framework that is sat behind everything. Regeneration, I will double check and come back to you after this meeting. I am uncertain as to whether we have finalised everything and all the risks are off the table, or whether there are a couple of pockets that are still open. But there wasn't anything of significant concern in relation to that. Projects themselves inherently have a high risk, and it is to make certain that there is robust control mechanisms, reporting mechanisms, and governance mechanisms that are in place. So I might need to come back with whether everything's been resolved. In relation to the other two, they have now been fully resolved and we're closed down. But as I said, the caveat around Nicholson Road is that's a decision later on for the council as a whole as to how they're going to proceed. But as far as we're concerned, they've done everything that they can do at present.
Michael, I just want to come in
okay,
here.
Okay, thank you. Can I come back to paper E at another point?
Just one moment. Just to follow up on what Lisa said, Nicholson Road was was stated as high risk. I then sent that down to the Regeneration Policy and Scrutiny Committee, and that's with them. And any items on regeneration, I think if it's going to be more of a scrutiny of not governance but other things, should be looked at by the Regen Committee and not ourselves. Paper E, we're not onto that yet, Michael.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions on any of these items on these two papers from anybody else? No. Then what I propose is, there are two different papers, but the recommendation for each one is identical, and it is the committee is asked to note the report of the internal audit. So what I'm proposing is, if we need to take a vote, Megan?
If they're just noting them, we don't need to.
Okay.
To vote.
So Megan says we don't need to take a vote. That's fine. But they've all been noted, various comments, and the recommendation will be as per the paper, which are identical. So that's one. So now we go on to paper E, and we let Lizzie do her presentation for that first of all, before Michael gets in.
Thank you, Chair. I was going to say my wonderful assistant, Grant Newton, is not with me, which is why I'll come back to you on the regen projects. In relation to the third paper that is presented to you, back prior to COVID-19, we would have presented the annual audit plan to you, which was duly ratified. I'd like to start, obviously, on page 11, which is around, and sentiments have already been echoed by our colleagues in Ernst & Young regarding COVID-19. And just for information, how auditors go about obtaining their evidence is something that we now need to manage on a daily basis, because if you can appreciate, most of the team at some stage pitches up at an office, and whilst there's an awful lot that is electronic records, there's an awful lot as well which are manual, and we need to make certain that we abide by all of the rules and safety measures, and we protect both sides of the equation, i.e. the clients that we're interacting with, as well as the audit staff. And fundamentally, this paper was brought back to you because across the wider team, we have had redeployment within audit. We stood down some of the activities where it resulted in interactions with clients, i.e. a number of the in-house services who were trying to maintain the critical services. So it is to bring to your attention that we will undertake risk assessments for every single audit. We will keep that live. As and when we may need to flex on our arrangements, we will carry that out. If there is any fundamental impact or changes in relation to the plan, again, I will bring that back to you. There are three main motivations, really, beyond and as part of COVID-19, for why this plan is represented to you with a number of amendments. I've already mentioned, obviously, the impact on the internal audit results, but I think it was appropriate, and I've spoken to all of the relevant directors, that the services that need to maintain critical visibility and support to members of the public may well then not be able to be subject to some of the audits. So I have risk assessed, spoken to all of the relevant directors, and there are three main pockets now to the report that I'm presenting. So areas that we've taken out because it is inappropriate to go and audit. Areas that we need to include because there is an increased level of assurance reporting that is required by central government. So there is a number of grants that have come through, and those are contained now within this new revised plan, because there is a requirement for the majority of them to be subject to an internal audit, signed off by the Chief Internal Auditor and signed off by the Chief Executive Officer. And the final area, I suppose, for making the amendment comes back to the comment on the annual opinion, where one of the concerns that may well influence and downgrade the insurance level is the organisation implementing its agreed actions. And you will note from this new plan that there are plans to carry out a second follow-up on any audit activity where the exception had remained open after the first follow-up. So three key areas beyond discussing any further. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have. Because the audit team are undertaking a lot of assurance work around COVID that isn't grant related, we will have reporting contained within our progress reports that is specific to any flexing the organisation has done in order to maintain its critical services. So beyond that, I'm more than happy to answer any questions.
Councillor Lilly, do you have a question on this paper E?
Yes, I do. One of the areas, it mentions modern slavery. Please can I have more information about the audit process in regard to that, within that? It sort of stands out.
You're right, modern slavery is not a title you'd usually see that often. There was guidance set out by central government in relation to modern slavery, because modern slavery, i.e. individuals being taken advantage of, being made to work excessive hours and so forth, is obviously has been for the last few years on the increase. It is certainly more real, and there is an item of legislation that was published. So this particular review is focusing, and it's currently in progress, it's focusing on the arrangements the council has to hold a number of its suppliers to account and make certain that its suppliers that it uses have robust arrangements for checking that when they perhaps have any subcontractors, that the areas of concern in relation to modern slavery, that there are good checks in place. So this predominantly is looking at what do we have included within our contracts. It isn't akin to arrangements for bribery, but when the bribery legislation came out, it held again local authorities to account for making certain it was able to justify and was able to safeguard to a degree any individuals that may be susceptible and taken advantage of. And modern slavery is no different. So it's looking at when we engage with outside suppliers, what checks and balances we do. I have to say, for the Isle of Wight, modern slavery we still need to take very seriously, because there is good legislation sat around this, but you are not in the same arena as the likes of inner cities or in and around the London area. But that in a nutshell is what we are covering.
Okay, thank you for that. The other one was on E11 about the island plan, and you're talking about a reschedule regarding this. So that, again, like some more information. This is quite important, because it is going to be reviewed, I think, in relation to COVID in November or in the autumn.
Yes, the island plan was originally in the 1920 review, and there were a few areas where we were on the cusp of COVID-19, and if they hadn't commenced, then we needed to put to one side. That was the element around letting services maintain their critical focus. The island plan at present, so I've lifted from the 1920, put into the 2021. We have to probably keep the whole of the 2021 reasonably fluid, in that the timing of this particular review, and it will look at the revised island plan and any of its requirements for around when its submission, when it's submitted, and what it feeds into in relation to the strategic direction of the authority. And at the moment, I'm proposing, yes, we will have a look at it, but we need to be very careful the timing of that review, so that it gives the organisation the best outcome from the product of the audit. So we will look at how things are progressing, how we've had to perhaps revisit as an organisation the direction of travel from a strategic perspective. but at the moment we couldn't do it in the 1920 because of COVID. I'm lifting it into the new one. I have to be really open and honest, it may be one of those areas that we leave to the tail end of next year, financial year this year, or I lift and shift to put it into the next year's plan.
Okay, thank you. That's all my questions at the moment.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Councillor Millie. That's great. I take it the modern slavery, nothing to do with this company in Leicester and who are supplying boo and things like that. Fortunately,
no.
We don't have that sort of facilities over here.
No, it's national legislation, and it's appropriate that the authority still takes things seriously and has good arrangements in place.
Okay. So, if there are no more questions...
Got a question from Councillor Quirk.
Oh, well, beg your pardon. Sorry, Christian. Councillor Quirk, you have a question?
Going back to something that was partially covered in my previous question, we have areas where the need to actually focus on what is being delivered is really important. I totally understand that. But those areas are also the areas that there has been a dramatic increase in spend. And what's the reassurance that it is actually going to be looked at properly, particularly in terms of value for money, because some of those things, it seems that we suddenly in COVID-19, it costs a lot more for foster care. And I don't quite understand why, and I'd like someone to be looking at that sort of thing.
Councillor Cook, that is a very relevant question. There is an item included in this plan that is called assurance reporting, and there is a small amount of narrative that is alongside that. So the grants are individually included, but areas that have increased their expenditure across the council, and of course there was a specific code for COVID-19, we will actually go through all of those areas and pick a sample, because we need to be able to give assurance to yourselves, but also centrally to the management team, that when we have made additional purchases, so there's a whole host of things that had to flex in the arrangements. So a number of the procurement rules would have had to have been amended for a short period of time to facilitate being able to deal with COVID-19, and we may have had additional items of expenditure. So all of that is subject to the assurance reporting COVID. So we will be able to give you some assurances independently to the organisation. No doubt they will still be doing their own assurance work as well.
Lizzie, if I can just come in there, I take it this is on our paper E12, it's the last item, cross-council COVID response, and it's assurance reporting. That's what you're talking about?
Yes.
I think we need to note that, and that particular one, and a full report when you, I don't like saying when you've got one, I rather like putting a date on it, but I don't suppose you could put a date on it, because you don't know when you're going to be in a position to do so. But I think we need to have a look at that, because it is going to affect the council's finances in a way, in a great way, probably.
There are a number of areas. I envisage you won't necessarily get one report. You will get updates as and when the various pockets have been reviewed.
But you won't have control over those pockets then, or you won't know where they are?
Well, I've been in liaison with a number of officers on the Isle of Wight side of the equation, and you know, they're more than happy. They're actually quite encouraging of us to feed in. The senior management team has seen the revised report anyway, so they were comfortable with, and I'm looking for us to provide them with independent. What will govern the timing is, you can imagine, if you take a particular area of expenditure, that expenditure is still incurring. Now, if we look at it now, we'll be able to give you an opinion as at now, but in all honesty, you would possibly want us to revisit and separate some of our testing, so it is over the appropriate period of time, which is why we're already undertaking some checks which would have been around the business grant, and we're using our data analytics to be able to do that. But we need to do it across absolutely everything. So, and I'm not saying we will test absolutely everything. What I'm saying to you is, for all of the relevant areas, we will do sample testing.
And of course, all this will impinge upon the budget for 2021 as well.
Do you mean the budget in relation to audit, or the budget in relation to the council?
To the council, I do beg your pardon. There's only one budget.
Yes, but that is a moving target, to be honest. We're not out the back end of COVID-19. They're making all of the relevant assessments.
Mm.
But as with Spain going into quarantine,
Don't
be easily pulled, even if you've considered all permutations of on variations.
Don't give Councillor Kilpatrick another reason not to come back from Spain, that's all.
Chris has got a follow up. And then Michael.
Sorry, Chris, sorry, go ahead with your follow up.
There's a possibility that there could be a second round of COVID in the winter, autumn, winter. You're saying we're looking at everything once it's finished, but actually, the 19 million extra spent on COVID could recur in the autumn, and we should maybe learn the lessons before then to be sure that we're making the right decisions in the future.
Apologies, Councillor Quirk, I may have misled you. What I envisage doing is not having one report, is probably reporting on a regular basis the various pockets. I think it is relevant to do pockets of testing up front, but not actually close down that particular area, particularly if there is still ongoing expenditure being incurred. I think we will do a number of pockets, A, to be able to feed back quite rightly, as you indicated, to the organisation if there's lessons to be learned, but also because we don't want to get to the end of the year and be then presenting you with, okay, this is all wonderful, but here are some pockets that we had some concerns on. We will work on it throughout, but the timing, so each time we have a progress report, I envisage giving you an update in relation to that assurance reporting framework. So sorry if I'm misled.
Councillor Lilly, you had another question?
Yes, it was just a follow-up really from Chris's line of questioning. It was very clear in COVID that, as he sort of said, regarding fostering, but it was also within adult social care. And I just wonder where you're going to look at. I mean, to give you an example, a lot of PPE equipment prices changed radically and went up. And there was quite a big difference between who you were buying PPE equipment from. Also, the rates that the government were giving for beds on discharge into care homes was much higher than perhaps we would have traditionally we would have paid for before, and that's obviously coming back. So there's quite a lot of areas of where finance has been. I mean, I shouldn't say this, but some of the manufacturers did knock up their prices on stuff. Whether that might have been legitimate reasons. Are those areas you go into those financial fluctuations of price that you would also be looking at?
Councillor Lilly, I haven't determined a specific test that's going to sit underneath everything. I think what I would say to you is all local authorities, to a degree, would have had no option. So the value for money element, whilst I am always duty bound to look at that, I think we need to recognise that as an issue. Once I have greater clarity, obviously, we will commence with all our testing. That is always an area that we would need to consider But as I said, the finer details and the caveats around that are as prescribed.
Okay, thank you.
I take it there are no more questions from the members. If that's the case, I ask the members to approve the revised 2020/21 internal audit plan. And I need a proposer. Chris, and I take it Michael is your second, you are the seconder as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we now go to the vote. As if we're taken by a roll call, and you ask to confirm whether you wish to vote for or against or abstain. The clerk will now call out each councillor's name and ask you to respond.
Councillor Axford. Councillor Axford.
For.
Councillor Barry.
For.
Councillor Kilpatrick.
For.
Councillor Lilly.
For.
Councillor Quirk.
For.
And Councillor Tindall.
For.
It's unanimous, Chairman.
Okay, that's a confirmed result. Now, we've been going for an hour. I would suggest we have a 5 minute break. If you have a 5 minute comfort break, and then we'll return to item 7, the council's risk profile. So just give us 5 minutes, so that'll be 11 o'clock by my clock here.